The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
The second hour is live. We appreciate all of you being here. Let's jump ahead to the caller bracket. We're starting. This is the Ted Williams region. Jim moving on to face Cat Daddy, who knocked out Chaplin Mack.
Expected.
Andre knocks off some guy named Charlie from who knows where. And Jerome puts away
Miss Pat. Wow.
Let's see what the Woodstock region looks like. I'm in, advancing with a bye. We deep six, both Dustin and, AJ. Elliot and Cheerleader are moving. The winner of that moves on to take on I-Man, William from Maryville, and John, Handsome Joe, and Booker.
That'll be a close one.
Back to your phone calls, and Mitch is up next. Hello, Mitch.
Well, Paul, it's my fault all this mess has been going on the past 2 days, and I want to apologize.
We don't accept apologies.
It was the only way I was going to even have a chance to beat Legend was to have people threaten him. And so I did what I had to do. I put money out there.
You did well, Mitch.
I'm sorry because, you know, I can't beat him on my own. So I decided to get...
Turn the page, Mitch.
Somebody... Huh?
Turn the page. It's over.
It's over.
And Jack Nicholson said, it's Chinatown.
It's Chinatown. Can I be serious about something?
No.
If you'd like.
Well, you know, I've been listening to all this mess about that basketball player in Alabama and all this stuff. You know, the truth of the matter is, live and let live and let it go on, and it'll eventually work itself out.
Okay.
Thanks, man.
Simple words.
So,
I'm a simple guy.
Have
simple,
a good
I'm a
weekend.
Simple man. Thank you, Mitch. You be well. You take care of yourself. Thanks for offering us some life's lessons. Bubba is in North Carolina.
What's shaking, Paul Feinbaum?
Bub.
Hey, man. Hey, somebody said you needed a football to wear a football helmet to play Tennessee in basketball. I believe this everybody in this collar bracket needs to put a helmet on.
That's a good point.
Hey, but the reason I called my big Tennessee Volunteers, they weren't able to elbow their way into the Elite Eight. I didn't see them going much further, but they're just too inconsistent offensively, though. I was surprised they did as well as they did, honestly, but Brandon Miller stuff, people just shut up about Brandon Miller. Let the boy go play some ball. The law will work itself out. Let these kids play ball. Let it go. There's nothing left to talk about. And I really hadn't chimed in on him, but I'm just tired of hearing about it. Honestly, Paul, they're beating a dead horse.
Well, the only people that are really still talking about it are national media and a few haters from around the world.
Well, you tell Randy I said, and I'll catch you later.
By the way, Randy is here today.
I know. I heard my man Randy on there. It made my Friday,
his,
buddy.
His cruise has ended.
He's off with the. Is that where he went on a cruise?
Where'd you go, Randy?
Went to the dark side, the video room.
He's been here the whole time. He just things are tight around here. He had to work double duty.
Hey, did you kick AJ out of the bracket?
Absolutely.
We sure did. And that we also
hey, you know,
we
you
were
know, you know
a little
what?
Tough that, on that, that, on Dustin, but we just felt like it.
He deserved it.
No. Them cats needed to go. Did AC get beat?
AC didn't even make the bracket. He's in the CBIT.
Well, I thought he took his crayons and went home anyway, so All right, you guys have a good day.
Thank you. We'll try. Okay, so before the show, we asked a Twitter question. Did you hear the Twitter question today?
I saw it.
It was about, what was it? Oh, here's the question. What is the most underrated artist in music? Now, that could be of all time. That could be today. That could be anything. Who would you say, Randy?
I would say Chet Atkins.
Chet Atkins?
Yep.
Yeah, that's a pretty interesting, guess. I don't know. I'll let that marinate for a few minutes. Let's check out Brian up next in Georgia. Hey, Brian.
Hey, Paul. Love the show.
Thank you. I'm
a long-suffering Tennessee fan. Can we get a high-profile sports psychologist to go into the Tennessee Athletic Department and talk to the players about how to handle success? I was listening to ESPN yesterday, and they said the words, Tennessee has the best statistical chance to go to the Final Four. And I knew at that moment that they were going to lose, because that's the way the whole season has gone. I mean, we beat Texas, huge game. Then we lose to an underrated Florida and lose to Vanderbilt. We beat Alabama, number one team. Then we lose to Kentucky. I mean, it's. I'm happy that UT is there again, and people are saying good things about UT. It's been a while.
Yeah, but you know, Brian, the frustrating part, and you alluded to it was just a blown opportunity. I mean, I thought Tennessee was going to dance through that regional and maybe have an Alabama-Tennessee semifinal game, and now that's all gone. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Much more to come here in the next couple of hours. We'll take a short break. Back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
And what about Tennessee? We haven't had too much of an opportunity to talk about that, but we'd like to hear from you. What happened to the Vols last night? The big win over Duke goes down the drain after a no-show in the second half against Florida Atlantic. Here yesterday, we had John Feinstein singing the praises of Rick Barnes, and today people are going, what happened again in March for the Tennessee Vols? It wasn't any better. In fact, it was probably worse as Arkansas, the team that had gone to two straight Elite Eights, gets waylaid early and often by UConn, one of the more disappointing tournament games for Arkansas in recent memory. Meanwhile, what about the Tide? They remain the favorite to win the tournament as the overall number one seed. And they will play in a couple hours. And this is what it looks like. We have a couple of women's games, one starting shortly. LSU in Utah, Ole Miss and Louisville, and Alabama plays at 6:30 against San Diego State. So a lot of reaction about basketball. And we'll get to your phone calls in a minute. Bruce Feldman will join us next hour. The first year is the hardest. A deep dive into the importance of getting off to a fast start as a brand new head coach. Matt Brown will join us shortly as well, talking about should Congress get involved. You hear what Barkley said yesterday? Who would trust a bunch of crooks in Congress? Steve Spurrier will also join us next hour. So we are locked and loaded here on this Friday afternoon. Thanks, all of you, for joining us. We've already talked about the transfer portal. We had Mark Stoops on in our first hour. They had Pro Day up there today with Will Levitz. We'll get to your phone calls at 855-242-7285. You can still squeeze a call in right now. It's early in our caller segment, so give us a ring, and let's start with Jared in Texas. Say hello, Jared.
What's going on there, Mr. Paul? It's me from the other day. It's me again, Margaret.
Well, it's great to hear from you. Thank you.
Man, you know I love the show. Long-time caller. Yeah, what happened to the Tennessee Vols? I'll tell you exactly what happened to them, Paul. They did not run the offense through Vescovi. That's what we've done the entire year. We obviously don't have Ziegler, who's the heart and the leader of our team. I don't know, man. I think that it had something to do with them just not running the ball through Vescovi. That's where we run our offense through. Also, side note, I told you Rudy Poos about Arkansas, didn't I? They weren't that team. But anyway, that's all I wanted to say, man. Love the show. Keep up the good work. And where was I at in the bracket, man? Did I make the NIT for the caller bracket?
I'm trying to think of how to. Is there a nice way to tell you that you didn't?
Yeah, I would have appreciated that on Selection Sunday for all the callers, but maybe I'll be in there next year, man. I don't know what I have to do to get the love and appreciation I deserve, man.
Well, Jared, how many times have you called the show?
I called the show 52 times the other day in to voice my opinion.
I'm talking about overall. How many times have you been on the show?
Man, come up with, I've lost count at this point, man.
Okay, well, I am going to talk to the committee and see why they have been prejudiced against you. So you stand firm there, okay? I don't know. Do you remember Jared calling in 50 times? I don't remember.
Maybe he needs to up his caller game.
I think there's an issue. let's check in with Augie next. Hello, Augie.
Hey, Paul, I can tell you, the only Jared I ever heard about was the Jared Jewelry Company commercials, you know? And the other thing, he's calling from Austin, so that's like five strikes against him right there. So he's going to probably have to call in like 50 times to equal one of the regular callers' calls. But that's
it's pretty bad when the person that answers the phone here was struggling to remember when the last time he called. That's not a good sign.
And I could hear him in the background, and he was trying to be diplomatic about it. But clearly, we have no idea who Jared is. But yesterday, Paul, at the end of the show, you looked just exasperated. You were just, like, perplexed.
Well, I felt like I was the social studies teacher in the cafeteria. That was I was the only person there when a food fight started. This was pre cell phone, and then they came and tied me up to the mashed potato machine, and I mean it was bedlam.
It was total bedlam, and I mean, you know, Larry called in twice, had him so fired up. I thought he was going to have a heart attack right there on the air. But Larry was really upset with the way he was being treated yesterday.
Larry was seriously mad. Jim, it's always hard for me to tell when Jim is mad, happy, sad, exasperated, or just having a good day.
Well, I could tell that you were very concerned when the whole provoking of violence issue came up, and you were doing your best to make it clear to everybody, including the TV audience, the TV management, that you were not stoking incitement and violence.
Listen, I realize I play loose sometimes on this show, and I encourage people to have fun. But there does come a time when you do get concerned, when you start having outliers start mentioning things. And we don't advocate that. And I just want to make sure people understood. But I don't think I was successful in that attempt.
Well, you'd have to be dumber than a dummy to really think somebody's going to come to somebody's house and do some kind of harm to them. But you know, these days, Paul, and you realize this too, there are people who just lose it, and you never know what might happen. But, Paul, can I go on a rant for just a second?
Sure.
LSU baseball is a fraud. They are total fraud. That game against Arkansas was embarrassing. Jay Johnson, the coach of LSU, supposedly assembled this dream team, right? The best team that ever supposedly walked into college baseball. Well, he's got a bunch of rejects from other schools through the transfer portal. He's got this fake hitting program where they run up scores against teams like University of New Orleans, Southern, Grambling, Central Connecticut. And today against a decent team, I'm saying they're probably one of the best teams in the country.
Arkansas. Listen, what are you talking about? I mean, in the top of the 10th, LSU only gave up a three-run homer and a grand slam. I mean, you don't think that was good managing?
I can tell you this. Unless they turn it around in some immaculate form, they may come out fourth or fifth in the SEC. Right now, they have embarrassed the LSU baseball program.
But Augie, fourth or fifth in the SEC still puts you in the top six or seven in the country, though. So,
But when you're supposed to have the best team ever in LSU history, you're not supposed to get blown out.
Allow me to remind you that last year, this wasn't me or you. This was the who was in here? Who did we have? KP telling us this, that Tennessee was the best team in the history of college baseball. And didn't get it. I don't even think they got out of their own. Were they in a super regional or a regular region? I can't remember.
No, you're right about that. And I'm not saying it's the only time that a school has been way.
I don't think they got out of the region the first round, did they?
No, I don't think so.
At home, they lost to Notre Dame. Hey, thanks for the call, Augie. Allow us to check out Adam up next in Arkansas. Hey, Adam.
Hey, Mr. Paul, how are you?
We are doing well. Thank you for the call.
Yes, sir. I was wondering. I know you guys watched that Razorback game, and I just wanted to know if you thought that the Hogs were one of the best teams in the nation right now, school program in general, because they're great success in softball, basketball, and football coming up, and that good win against LSU today.
I mean Arkansas right now has one of the best athletic departments in the whole country, and really it's across the board. I mean, there are plenty of schools that are successful in many sports, but I think John Daly said it the other day in relation to Hunter Yurecek that he right now is one of the standout ADs. In fact, he won that award very, very recently. Trey is up next. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, you had two callers from Arkansas call in yesterday. One, I believe, said he's about 72. And they were both talking about Brandon Miller. I could tell the first guy was not up on the facts, but the second guy wanted to start talking about Alabama permit laws and stuff. And I just want to clarify something, and I think this got a lot of people confused, and I'm reading it right here. It says, anyone in the state of Alabama 18 or over, unless they're prohibited by the state or federal law, may carry a handgun to the state without a permit.
Yeah, no, it's an open carry.
You're right.
Yeah, by the way, Trey, we don't need to hear the whole state statute, but it is an open. I should have said that because I knew that, and it slipped my mind as he was talking. He was talking so fast, but Brandon Miller having a gun in the back of his car was not against the law.
Right, and Paul, they don't even have to do a background or safety training anymore. And, you know, you can pick apart the law whether you like it or not, but that's the law here in Alabama. But I just want to correct that, Paul. I thank you for a great week, and you have a great weekend.
I'm glad we got that Alabama gun law corrected, aren't you?
Mm-hmm. I feel better already.
I feel safer, too.
Yep.
We will take a break. Matt Brown will join us in a few minutes. We'll come back with your phone calls right after that as well.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPNPods. That's Amazon.com/ESPNPods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we welcome you back. We were listening a minute ago to Dan Wetzel yesterday talking about an interview he had done with Jack Swarbrick of Notre Dame. There's so much conversation about NIL and Congress and what has to happen. And then Charlie Baker giving an interview yesterday. Everybody's on the same page, but what does it all mean? Matt Brown joining us from the Extra Points newsletter. Matt, good to see you again. Thank you very, very much. So help us all out, please.
Yeah, it's always great to be here, Paul. And it is a difficult, storyline, I think, to really wrap your arms around. Anytime that we get involved with Congress, that's a whole different ball of wax than anything with College Sports Administration, which is already complicated and inefficient enough. When you start seeing the athletic director, the university president at Notre Dame, start to write op-eds in the New York Times, they're not trying to talk to people like us. And I don't think they're really trying to talk to the audience of this particular show or maybe the audience of some of the other shows that our colleagues here produce. In my view, they're really trying to reach members of Congress, and they're trying to reach the staffers for members of Congress to be able to lay out, this is our argument for this new federal legislation that we're really pushing for. And what I think stuck out to me from this last interview is not so much the same tired arguments or we need a national standard around NIL or this whole system's going to collapse, because more or less, administrators have been saying this for the last 75 years. The numbers have changed. The arguments haven't really. What's unique here is I see the leadership at Notre Dame beginning to articulate what are some of the things the NCAA is willing to give up in exchange for a national NIL standard, in exchange for an antitrust exemption. And if you look at this editorial, you hear things like, maybe we'll push for a hard cap on the amount of missed class time. We've talked about that for 65 years. Maybe this time, by God, we'll actually do it. Or we're going to push to have a health insurance for athletes several years after they complete their college career, something that Democratic lawmakers have been pushing for here. So I think the terms of this debate are becoming a little bit more clear, because if it's just the NCAA saying, Congress, bail us out, we already know what the answer to that question is. It's no. The question now is, what is the NCAA willing to give up to get to that point? And then will Congress take that deal?
Matt, I appreciate you keeping our audience out of the New York Times subscription base, but I'm wondering how many members of Congress read anything, let alone the talking points given to them by their respective leaders, because they make very little sense, which brings me to our next question. If it is chiseled down, does that change anything, and what can they do, or what will they be willing to do, if anything?
That is a great question. And I tell this to my audience, too. Like, I do my very best to read these tea leaves, and I'll call the congressman, and I'll read everything here. But if I could tell you exactly what was going to happen, my newsletter would cost more than $8. And I think anybody that tells you they know exactly what's going to happen, if they're not in that room right now, is probably trying to sell something, right? We know very broadly that despite what the two gentlemen at Notre Dame wrote in the New York Times, they're not asking for a limited government intervention. If you are asking the federal government to say college athletes are not employees, when you in that same argument say the courts are going to say they're employees, and that's an argument that I agree with as well. That's what I have been told is most likely to happen. If you're asking Congress to trump the court system, that's not a little thing. That's a very big thing. And there's going to be many congressmen who are going to look at that and say no out of principle, or no because they're not interested in college athletics. The question then is, are you willing to give up enough other things to make that compromise palpable? The narrow option, the kind of skinny option that you might hear over the coming weeks is, what if we just get a national NIL standard, right? This is something that maybe on this program you may have heard coaches and athletic directors and the SEC express some frustration with. What is technically permitted in Texas is different from Arkansas, is different from Alabama, is different from Missouri. And it's not uncommon to hear a coach or administrator say, we're not an equal playing field because this state allows this intellectual property thing, or this state lets high schoolers do Y. And I understand intellectually that argument. In practice, Paul, I really don't think there's a lot of evidence that in most cases it matters at all right now, especially because very few of these state laws have any enforcement mechanism. So I will believe this is a bigger problem when I start hearing about the Arkansas Highway Patrol, you know, coming in there to levy sanctions over some booster for doing a deal or somebody actually getting fined. You know, right now that's just not in these state laws, which makes this an intellectual hypothetical challenge rather than something that's in reality. And Lord knows Congress has enough real challenges to deal with to then focus time on hypothetical ones brought to them by administrators.
Yeah, and I mean, there are a couple of things that are easy to make fun of. Congress, the NCAA. I mean, it takes no skill to take shots. And unfortunately, these are the two of the subjects that we're talking about right now. So let me talk about Charlie Baker for a second, because, I mean, he's won the PR battle. Good for him. I mean, I've heard the talking point so many times now about his two terms in Massachusetts, working across the aisle, which, by the way, nobody does anymore in politics. Yeah. But in reality, he's better than the previous person, who was an eyesore. But what's the most he can do other than, you know, be friendly in interviews with Greg Gumbel and anybody else that will talk to him?
Yeah, and it's kind of funny how low the public expectation is right now for the head of the NCAA, right? To your earlier point, it's not shooting fish in a barrel to make fun of Mark Emmert or to make fun of the NCAA's previous, you know, public relations program. That's shooting fish in like Vaseline. It's way too easy. For right now, yes, having an effective communicator for what the NCAA's vision is, that's a start. But to hear them and to hear you know, the Baylor University president has made this argument as well, that if we don't get this federal change, our ability to do almost anything in the NCAA becomes limited. And how true that is, I'm not necessarily sure, but that is a good question. And so that's something I think it would be important to challenge every university president and every athletic director, are what is our plan B in the event that Baker and his staff are not able to do this? And this is an important distinction, I think, for all audiences. That when we are angry at the NCAA for something, if we see a policy that doesn't make sense, if we see them get in front of a camera and are unable to articulate anything, those policies are there because of the schools, because of something that university presidents and to some extent athletic directors at the local level are pushing for here. So the challenge isn't just a couple of bureaucrats in Indianapolis and suburban Washington, D.C. and Massachusetts. It's also the policies being articulated in Mississippi and Kentucky and Columbus and California and at the campus level, too. But it's, you know, just like with politics, it's easier to say my congressman's OK. It's everybody else in Washington that's a bunch of jokers. That's kind of the problem here, too. It's not just Baker. It's not just Emmert. It's what's happening at your favorite campus, too.
Such great and smart conversation with Matt Brown from Extra Points. Many, many thanks. Really glad to be able to talk to you again. We'll catch up soon, I hope. Let's head to the break. Don't forget Steve Spurrier, top of the next hour, Bruce Feldman. We've got everybody on board today. Your reaction to what happened last night, a look ahead to the rest of the weekend, all of that coming up next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
And welcome back here, Friday afternoon, and Jeff is up next. Hello, Jeff.
What's going on, Paul?
Jeff.
Man, I've heard a lot of comments about the end of yesterday's show, which unfortunately I had to miss the last hour and a half. But before I get to what I really called, I tell you what, the last 90 minutes of Wednesday's show was like the 27 Yankees murderers row of callers coming in. Did you notice that?
That was that was unique. It was Hall of Fame City.
Yeah, I mean, Lewis Riddick was your guest. I call in, and then hell, you had Jim, Joe, Augie, Squirrel, Legend, and Larry. I mean, right one after another, man. It was Hall of, like you said, it was like a Hall of Fame ceremony, wasn't it?
Felt like we were doing the show live in Cooperstown.
Yeah. And that goes to show you, I tell you what, Jim yesterday called in and made a sapient and poignant point about that, that he's right on spot on, that talent wants to be around other super talented people. And that's why I think when you get a good call that stirs it up, that people react to, they just fall in line and they just come one after another. And that was how the good old days. Wouldn't you say that was how the difference between the show today versus the good old days is that the callers just rolled in nonstop in the good old days? Don't you agree?
We just did it yesterday and the day before. I mean, why do we need to go back to the good old days when we have Wednesday and Tuesday and Wednesday?
Well, it's good to see that we're getting back, Paul. That's what's good to see. And Handsome Joe, what's funny is I heard him yesterday call me out, or on Wednesday, I mean. I mean, what's funny, Joe, you said I'm not a good caller and I'm not talented, but every time I call in, you tend to come right in behind me and have to comment on it. So you may not think I'm talented, but you're sure as hell listen to what I got to say, which, you know, it's no surprise you're from Redneck, Alabama. It's just the way it goes, Joe. You don't have all your tools in the shed. I get it. But, Paul, why I really called, when's that expanded playoff start? After next season?
2024, excuse me. I've lost 10 years.
I'm just wondering.
I wanted to go back to the good old days.
I won't be surprised. Right. 2014 was nice. Hey, Paul, have you heard from any of your insiders and people in the commissioners, things like that? Is there any concern about the college football players forming like a union type of situation, or maybe boycotting? Because I don't see how they're going to put up with the power they have now, put up with this expanded schedule. I don't see it. I mean, the risk and reward is so – I mean, those playoff games are violent. I mean, what do you think about that?
I mean, listen, people have mentioned it. It's a concern, but the money's already been allocated from the network. So, Jeff, I'm good. There's a concern about everything with player safety.
Well, I'm going on record right now, Paul. Tell the boys in the back to type this down in permanent ink. I think there's either going to be a boycott / strike, or there's going to be a formulation of a union type of situation of the players because they've got so much power today. I don't see them just sitting back and agreeing to play a 14, 15, 16 game
schedule.
Well, I got
news for you, Jeff. I don't mean to sound trite here, but they're really not getting a vote. I mean, if they're on the team, they'll play, and if they don't want to play, they don't have to. And yeah, at some point, you're right. I think players are going to ask for some of this TV money, especially when the new.
You're telling me that if the star players all said we're boycotting, there didn't going to be something pop up. I mean, don't
Jeff,
tell
I've heard,
me.
I've heard,
me
I've heard this.
Young,
I've heard
CJ
this threat
Stroud.
Before, but ultimately, I don't think it will happen.
Okay. That's why I called to ask you, Paul, because I just wanted your opinion. But I'm
I mean,
on
first
record,
of all, Jeff, these players are able to make money. It's one thing if they weren't getting a dime. Yeah, they might be upset that these conferences have billion-dollar deals, but they have every opportunity to make money. That's what this whole NIL debate's been about. At some point, you're right, they are going to ask for a piece of the TV money. I think that's really the issue.
Exactly, especially when they're asked to be doing – so much more quote-unquote work, meaning more games, they're going to want more money because their risk is going up extremely. These playoff games, don't you agree the intensity of the playoff games is night and day different than the regular season in terms of the hitting?
That goes for every – I remember I was with Charles Barkley many years ago, and this is an old example, but it was during the regular season we were together somewhere. And he had a game that night. I said, don't you need to get ready? He said, nobody gives a blank about these regular season games. Now, again, his team happened to be number one in the NBA at the time. He was in Phoenix. I said, when does that change? He said, in the playoffs, it's night and day. The intensity level is not even the same. And I think college football players play at a high level, but yeah, do I think that Ohio State Georgia game was a higher level than Georgia playing somebody else earlier in the season, or Ohio State playing Northwestern when they slopped around? Of course I do. Yes.
Yes, 100%. And that's what I'm saying is, you add two or three more of those games, I don't know. I'm really going to be anxious to see where this goes, because, like you said, the TV money is coming from the extra games, the expanded playoffs.
Well, Jeff, I think where it's really going to hit, it won't hit initially, but when the new CFP deal goes into effect in 26, that's when all of a sudden people are going to look up and go, they're making that much money. I think people right now are just happy to have the extra games. And by the way, we're not talking first of all, you got to get in the playoff, and you're not going to be in the playoff that long. So these things, there'll be a union at some point, but we are not there yet. Kathy is up next. Hello, Kathy.
Hi, Paul. I just want to say, first of all, that I was honored to be on the caller bracket. I'm very disappointed because my NIL fell through. I have no Lamborghini, no Louis Vuitton, none of the great stuff I will be getting. But I do want to know, I did want to tell you, I thank you and I appreciate it, but next year I'm going to try harder. I'm going to be mental like Jim. I'm going to talk about my time in prison like
Kathy, I think you broke the code there. If you, according to the Vegas odds, those who have been to prison have a more likely probability of winning the Feinbaum caller bracket.
20 years I was there.
Okay, well, Kathy, we will make sure we publicize that. Make sure to send us your orange jumpsuit and your mugshot. Tyler is in Lexington. Hello, Tyler. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We are doing well. Thank you very much.
Hey, so I'm here from Lexington. I wanted to talk about Coach Calipari and the Kentucky Wildcats. I heard you a couple of days ago. I heard what you said about Coach Cal, and I will say I understand, but I don't think he's the one to blame for this season, and I'll tell you why. We had players, we were playing, and we were down to the wire. Coach Cal can't shoot free throws. He can't play in the game himself. And I think nowadays, with all these players getting paid so much, we need to start looking at players and hold them more accountable. Now, I know it's Kentucky, but you sit here and think, if he's on the hot seat, who are you really going to replace him with that is going to be better than Coach Cal at this point?
Oh, I don't know. I could probably give you 5 or 10 names if you have the time. But it's your program. Listen, I like Cal. Everything you said is accurate. But the trajectory is what is the issue here. And if you're satisfied with one NCAA tournament win in the last 4 years at the bluest of the blue bloods in college basketball history, then let's party like it's...
That's fair. And, you know, it is hard to argue with that.
Kentucky's cutting down the nets in New Orleans with Anthony Davis.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. You're right on that. But I sit here and kind of think, you know, he's been there 14 years. Izzo, he's been at Michigan State for I don't know how long. He's got one ring.
Tyler, when you have to start reciting what somebody used to be and what he did in the past, it's time to take a deep breath. I'm not in charge of Kentucky's basketball program, nor am I suggesting they make a change. He's one of the top basketball coaches in modern history, but his record speaks for itself in recent years. We'll take a short break. A guy who has one of the great records of all time, Steve Spurrier, is up next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.